We bring you greetings this morning from Franklin County. It's good to be here. It was a good morning to drive over, and we're thankful to be able to be here. God is so good. He blesses us time and time again every day. We have a very interesting subject this morning. Those who know me best know that I like a lot of light. Two things in life that I really, really like, and that's light and room. We have plenty of room this morning, and we have plenty of light. And as Brother Eric asked me to come and share in this service this morning and told me what the lesson was about, I thought, well, that really fits in well, because if there's not a salt shaker on the table, I might ask for one. I like salt very well, too. The first point that I want to make this morning is the words of Jesus. He says, ye are. And I want us to keep that in mind as we go along here this morning. And not just this morning as we go from about our everyday responsibilities in life, that we are, Jesus said, as his followers, the salt and the light that this world will have. And I'm a poor person to follow notes. I got notes, but then I get off track. But anyhow, he doesn't say we're supposed to be. It'd be good if you would be. I hope you are. He says you are. And I'm wondering today, if the reason, I think we probably would all agree 100% here this morning that this old world is getting darker all the time. If you don't agree with that, that's okay, but I wonder where you're looking. Because to me, it seems like it's just a steady decline. And I'm wondering this morning if it could be because we, as God's children, and I include myself right into that, aren't fulfilling Jesus' command here as he says, ye are the salt of the earth and ye are the light of the world. This thing of salt is kind of interesting. From what I found, that this nation that we live in, the United States of America, produces about 44 million tons of salt each year. About 13% is taken from the sea, they tell us, about 28% from mines, and about 59% from wells. It has been estimated that if all the oceans dried up, they would leave about 4,419,300 cubic miles of rock salt. And they tell us that would be enough to cover all the United States except Alaska and Hawaii, with a layer of salt more than a mile and a half deep. So God has put salt here in the world for a purpose. And salt has many purposes. It has been estimated that there are more than 14,000 uses for salt. I can't think of near that many, but that's what they tell us. Most people think of salt chiefly as a seasoning for food, and that's one thing that I like it for. But less than 5% of the salt produced is used in seasoning. Salt is mentioned in the Bible some 41 times. And I think it's interesting how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ used the simplest figures of speech. Nothing is plainer, more universal, and more old-fashioned than salt. It's such a common commodity that we take it for granted. But if suddenly we had no more salt, it would make a vast difference in our lives. Now, let me say this before I go any further, and that is that the preaching service is coming afterwards, is my understanding. So if you have thoughts and comments, I do welcome them. And if I just keep going, well, I won't be offended if you interrupt me. The account here this morning, not long before the verses we have this morning, we see that Christ had called his disciples, and he told them that they should follow him and be fishers of men. And now he further instructs them of their purpose in the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt has many purposes. Without salt, human life would not exist. And I want to look at this morning, just point out some of the uses for salt naturally, as we use it from day to day and in society, and how that affects and goes along with the spiritual aspect that Jesus was talking about here. The first one, and I've already mentioned, is salt has the seasoning influence. Most people, as I have said that I do, enjoy salt. One translation rendering of Job 6 and verse 6 says, "Is tasteless food eaten without salt? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" Well, some people enjoy eating food without salt, but some of us don't. And I'm asking the question to myself this morning, how is your seasoning? Someone has said that our main trouble today is not that our doctrine is false, but that our experience is flat. And I thought that was putting it pretty well. Our doctrine isn't false, but too often our experience is flat. Luke 14:34 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?" Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man." Moffat translates that, "Let your talk always have a saving salt of grace about it, and learn how to answer any question put to it." You know I have this later in my notes, but it comes to my mind, I'll share it now. I am impressed more and more the older I get, and maybe the day and age in which we live, it is becoming more evident. But you and I, who are the chosen, the blessed, the privileged of God to be called his children, are being watched. I am just amazed. I guess our people at home probably get tired of hearing me say this, but I am just amazed over and over. I get around public a lot. In case you don't know it, I drive a public school bus. And I'm just amazed how, I'm going to say, the ungodly and the professing godly are watching us as God's people. And they know what to expect from us. No question. They know where we ought to be on this issue and that issue. They know how we ought to behave ourselves. They know how we ought to appear. You know, I was just thinking the other day, I walked in We just call it the bus shed. That's where the buses are kept. And I walked in where we walk in and go before we take off. And an old man there my age, and he's sitting there in shorts. You know, in my opinion, that's ridiculous. And I thought, I wonder what they would do tomorrow morning if I walked in here with shorts. What do you think they'd do, Larry? They'd take a second look. And they would be surprised, because they would never expect to see me appear like that. Is that wrong for them to be surprised? I don't think so. I think that's right. They ought to have a right to be surprised, because they ought to expect, be able to expect, be allowed to expect more out of a child of God than that. Now you say, well, you're a clothesline preacher. Well, then I'm a clothesline preacher. That's okay. But there's one thing the Bible does teach, and the Bible teaches modesty. Now see, here I go way off my notes again, Eric. You'll never ask me to do this again. Anyhow, question I wrote down, does our speech always have that saving salt of grace about it? We're talking about speech. We could go on a lot of bunny trails this morning. Number two, salt preserves. In the olden days, I don't know how much butchers used salt for, I'm not a butcher, for curing or anything today, but in the old days, I can remember when I was first married, my wife's parents, they butchered, and he cured his own hams, and so I was trying to cure ours, and he told me, you know, you make sure you get a lot of that salt down in there around that bone. Salt preserving. And I'm suggesting to us this morning that civilization has been saved to this point in history by the salt, the preserving quality of the Christian life. It was back in Genesis. You remember, Lord told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham says, if I can find 50 righteous. And then he comes down to 45. And then he comes down to 40 and 30 and 20. And finally he's down to 10. And God said he would save it for 10. But he couldn't find 10. I don't know about you this morning, but brothers and sisters, this morning, this old world's rotten. But you take God's people out of here, and I sure hope I'm not here. I don't plan on being here, because I plan on leaving when God's people leave. And I trust and I hope this morning that you do. I trust this morning that you know, because you can know, God's word tells us that when the trumpet sounds and the eastern sky opens, that you're going to leave for heaven. And we won't be here. But pity those poor souls that are still here without any preserving influence of salt, the child of God. How is your preserving influence in the world? Salt prevents decay. Salt prevents and retards corruption. And I say again, I have no question that we're better off in society today because of the salt of God's people. Number three, salt purifies and cleanses. Salt at one time had religious significance and was a symbol of purity. Among the Hebrews, it was a religious custom to rub newborn babies with salt to ensure their good health. I still believe the best gargle for a sore throat is salt water. I would agree that the condition of the world is getting worse and worse. But take the saints out, remove the salt, and I don't want to be here. Number four, salt heals. There's a lot of hurt in society today. I told you I drive a public school bus. I'm confronted with it every day I'm on that bus. The families of this nation are falling apart. Many have fallen apart. A little boy gets on my bus. I didn't even tell my wife this yet. This is the first year he's rode my bus. And he likes to give me a hug when he gets on the bus. I'm wondering how many hugs he gets at home. Many. I've said already that 50% of the children that I haul on my bus, and that's mostly a busload, come from what I'm going to term dysfunctional homes. Most of them, when I say dysfunctional, are broken homes. And I said this to one of the head teacher at the elementary school, and she said, the superintendent says that's all over our district. A lot of hurting people, children and adults. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I ask you and I ask myself, are we spreading some salt to help heal those broken lives? Lives are changed, souls are saved, homes rescued from disaster, broken hearts mended, burdens lifted, sick bodies and minds made well because of the antiseptic power of the Holy Spirit working through God's people, the salt of their earth. Any thoughts? I'd like to hear from you. Number five. Salt creates thirst. I like salt, and I drink a lot. You know, to be healthy, they tell you you ought to drink a lot. Well, you don't need to tell me I ought to drink a lot because I do drink a lot. And I don't know that it's because I like salt so well, but salt creates thirst. And as the salt of the earth, we should develop a thirst or a desire in the hearts of men to know God. Did anybody ever ask you, what makes you different? Do you think they wonder if they don't ask you? Does our lives as God's people cause those who we come in contact with day after day, or maybe they just seen us for the first time, does it cause them to wonder, I wonder why he acts the way he acts. I wonder why he's so happy. I wonder why he's so full of joy. I wonder why he dresses the way he dresses. Well, I don't dress like this every day. But brothers and sisters, more than our dress, our lives should cause people to take notice that we have been with Jesus. And if we have been with Jesus, well, I told somebody lately, I don't know who it was and don't matter who it was or what the occasion was. But I said, if we take, and not because I said it, that don't make it any better. But if we take a good, solid look into the face of Jesus Christ will never be the same. I don't think it's possible to take an honest look into the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and not be unchanged. But you know what? The adversary has so much today to get our attention and to keep our attention away from taking that look. Salt creates thirsty. It creates thirst. Are you a salty Christian? Are you creating salt within those that you come, or thirst within those that you come in contact with? Do they wonder? Even if they don't ask, do they wonder? Now, here's one you might not quite understand to start with, but just hang on. Number 6, salt irritates. Some people may be irritating, but not because they're salty. I wrote, they need some of God's salt applied. When the salt of God's truth is rubbed into this diseased old world, it starts to burn and arouse and irritate sick souls. The devil hates the gospel, and salt is not welcomed by a generation full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. God's people aren't really liked. And why should we be liked? By an ungodly society. I trust this morning, but I think that's some of the problem within the Church of Jesus Christ today. People don't want to stand out and irritate the ungodly. But our life should irritate, cause conviction. Maybe that's a better way to say it. It ought to irritate the old adversary, the devil, Satan. He's a liar and a deceiver. And our lives ought to irritate him. And if our lives aren't irritating him, I'm questioning this morning if we're living as close to the Lord as we ought to live. If our life isn't causing Satan distress, I question if we're living as we ought to live. Just some thoughts to think about that I wanted to share. I wrote down here, we need to live a life that irritates the devil. Preach the gospel, and Satan gets irritated. Vance Havner said, and I quote from him, the problem today is that we are so afraid of being offensive that we are no longer effective. We would rather, he says, we would rather grieve the Holy Spirit than offend, or I wrote, put in, irritate the wicked. No, we shouldn't live to try to irritate people. Don't misunderstand me, and I think you understand that. What I'm saying this morning, if our taking a stand for Jesus Christ is irritating to someone, then let them be irritated. Take the stand. Number 7, salt melts. Take and pour some salt on snow or ice, and you know what happens. I can still remember my mother. She carried a little pan, just a little pan with a little handle on it. And when you'd see her going in the wintertime and there was snow or salt, she was just sprinkling this ahead of her. You know why? Because salt melts. And she wanted to clean the walk or the path off. Take the hard-hearted sinner, that stony-hearted person. Sprinkle a little salt, a little love, a little concern, and see if it doesn't start to melt and soften a little. And I'm not going to be able to say, but it might be Jeremiah. I'm not sure what book it is back there. Maybe Isaiah. But God said that he would take the stony heart out and he would put a heart of flesh in. We sing the song, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Salt melts. Is my life, is your life this morning and every day that God gives us breath having a melting effect on the stony, hard hearts that we come in contact with? Jesus told the disciples, ye are the salt of the earth, and so are we. We can't melt the stony heart by our own power, but when the salt of God's word and the power of God is applied, it will. It can. It has that ability. We need to get into the salt business. Let's let me read to you what I wrote down. We need salted Christians. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Sounds old-fashioned, but salt is old-fashioned. Sin is old-fashioned and the gospel is old-fashioned. We still need them, regardless of what society says. We had something else we're supposed to look at. Ye are the light of the world. I don't know why, but every time I get in a position like this, it seems like the clock just speeds up. Light. I told you I like a lot of light. If you don't believe me, you ask my family. But I'm wondering this morning, you know, we've got all sizes of light bulbs. What size light bulb are you? What size light bulb am I? Now we got these, what do we call them? Somebody tell me. LEDs, there you go. Yeah, we got these LEDs. I'll be frank with you, I don't like them in automobiles when they're coming toward me. I never drove an automobile that had them. I don't know how they are when you're behind the wheel. It might be okay, but I know when they're coming toward you, at least when you get as old as me, I don't appreciate them. But I'm wondering this morning if we shine as LED lights. Or are we like a 50-watt bulb, a 20-watt, 5-watt bulb that's been hanging in the barn for a year and it's dirty and dusty and flies have been over it? Don't put out much light, does it, Larry? We've got to wash them. Seems like that's my job. I go around the barn washing light bulbs. Because I like light. Maybe I'll just suggest this morning that through this week of revivals, could we just wash our light bulbs? Maybe over here is one that's burned out. Let's see if we can replace it. Let's see if we can all shine as LED bulbs. And something else they tell me about LED bulbs, I don't have much experience with them, but that they last a long time. They don't burn out as quick. Brothers and sisters, this morning, from the time that we begin our journey in life till we reach the end is a long time. For most of us. And we need good, strong LED lights to see us through. One of my biggest concerns, and I preach this and tell people this frequently, is that the church, the saints, the church of Jesus Christ has the strength and the courage to make it to the finish line. I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm sure not the oldest one here, but I've seen in my lifetime those that have been faithful for years and years and years, and when they get near the end, they collapse. They give in. Brothers and sisters, this morning, well, I preached a sermon recently entitled, and not because I preached it, that has nothing in it, but I entitled that message, Love That Constrains and Joy That Sustains. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're going to need love to constrain us, to keep on going. Our love for the Master, our love for our fellow man. And if we have that love, God will supply us with the joy to sustain us to the end. I want to hear from you. Only a couple minutes left. Well, if you're not going to talk, I'm going to use the time then. Notice the verse 16 yet. There's much more could be said, but he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And as I meditated on that verse, you know, it seems to me, and if I'm wrong, you brethren, correct me, but if our light isn't shining and our Heavenly Father being glorified, Satan is. Who do you want your life to glorify? God or our adversary? Notice how he says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. If we're not, as God's children, he has no other plan. There's no other alternative. The question for you and for me this morning is, how do we measure up? Is God glorified? We sing about God being glorified. But is he glorified through your life and through mine? I trust that you will be challenged. I have been challenged. We go this way once. And we used to have a motto hanging in my home when I was growing up. I told you, Brother Donald, I forget too. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you, and God bless you.